So as we begin a new year, has anybody broke their New Year's resolution yet? I have. I was supposed to be on a diet, then I had my wife make cookies. So I've already broke one resolution. But it's one of those things, as we look at the new year, we have a renewed hope. We have this desire to start over again. And we always have great hopes, especially for our children, right? That is one of those things that we kind of cling to. I read a story this week about a doctor, and she was driving her four-year-old to kindergarten. And as she was driving, the four-year-old picked up her stethoscope and started to play with it. And in her mind, the doctor said, "Great, she's going to follow in my footsteps. This is awesome." Then the child sticks the instrument up to her mouth and says, "Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?" Yeah, isn't that funny? Because we have hope for our children. It's one of the things we hang on to the most. Or we have hope for the future. I believe hope is a vital part of our lives as believers. Hope motivates us each day. As you put your foot on the floor, when you get out of bed in the morning, the only reason you get out of bed is because you hope today is better than yesterday. Hope. But then there are times when it's hard to find hope, when life seems to knock you around. And there's a time when you just don't know if you can go on. But then there's this pinhole of light at the end of the tunnel. And we look at that light because that light is what gives us hope for the future, for our day, for our next day. And so with that glimpse, we can take one foot and put it in front of the other. I love Scripture, and I love how God talks about it, and I've seen it many times in Scripture, and you've heard it before. But my hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Savior that died for my sins. In our Scriptures today, we see that Paul states that we need to have joyful hope. Now, in Jeremiah, we kind of get a really interesting picture. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says this. Listen carefully. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Isn't that powerful stuff? See, the thing is he was right, and God does want that for us. But guess what gets in the way? We do. God has a plan. And he tells us that plan, or he reveals it somehow through someone. And then all of a sudden we're like, "Well, God, I don't think I want that my plan to go that way. Can we go this way instead of this way?" And then we wonder why we struggle, why we aren't being blessed abundantly, like Scripture, this book, tells us over and over and over that we should be blessed. We should have an abundant life. But we get in the way. Amen? So then I want to look at 1 Peter 1:3. There's another thing that Pete says here that just blows my mind. 1 Peter 1:3 says this: "Praise be to the God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That is our biggest hope that we can hang our hats on, folks, as believers in Jesus Christ. We only have hope in our future, in our eternity, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that, we have nothing. We're all just going to die and be eaten by worms. That's it. It's over. But we have hope. And where do we put our hope? Come on now, talk to me. Where do we put our hope? Jesus. Right? That's our hope. That's our future. And with that hope, you should be able to tackle every day with a smile on your face. Because we're not supposed to be of this world, right? But we get stuck in the things of this world. So be careful with that. Next, I want you to hear this. I believe that hope has to be a habit. It has to be a habit. I wonder how many of us in here have bad habits. Probably every one of us, right? Especially if you're married to somebody. man, that other person's got some really bad habits, right? My poor wife. Because I have all bad habits. But here's the thing. Hope is a habit. If you find those people that seem to always be happy, you ever been around that kind of person? When I worked in the hospital, I worked third shift, and I loved third shift because it was quiet. But we had this first shift nurse. She'd come bouncing in there at 7 o'clock in the morning going, "Hey, how y'all doing?" And she's like all bubbly and happy, and I'm like, "Oh, go away." Because she found hope in everything. She was the type of person when I'm looking at someone and they're going to pass away and they're not doing good, she goes, "Well, there's always hope." And I'm like, "What?" Because she understood the importance of having hope in your life. Hope is so awesome. Now, there's another thing that you've got to be careful of. And hear me on this. People will try to take your hope. They don't want us happy. They don't want us hopeful. They want us down in the muck and the mire with them. No, the misery loves company. But hope rises you above and puts you on that solid ground. Hope is what motivates. Hope is the thing that we should make a habit. Say it with me. Hope is something that we need to make a habit. It's a good habit. You know, it's interesting because with hope, that small light, everybody thinks, well, it's a pinhole. You really can't see it, and the darkness will always overtake it. It's been proven that light will always overtake the darkness. Always. Read Genesis 1:1, right? What did he do? He pierced the darkness with light. And in the light, everything's revealed. There isn't a lot of mystery in your life if you live in the light. So that's my challenge to you. Look for hope, practice hope, have the habit of hope. Now, this next one I really wrestled over this week. Next, we see that Paul instructs us to be patient in affliction. Affliction. There we go. Patient in affliction. Now, the thing is you have to understand, affliction's a hard word for me because I learned it the old school way. I learned tribulation. Now, I had to look up the word tribulation because we don't talk like that anymore, right? Tribulation means to be pressed. You're like, "Oh, I can handle being pressed." No, no, no. The tribulation that we talk about in this scripture is to be pressed like an olive in a press to get the oil, or a grape being stomped to make wine. That means pressure on every end. Tribulation. Now, what did Paul tell us to be? He used another word we don't like either, right? Patient. Anybody in here believe themselves a patient person? I think the older you get, the easier it gets. What do you think, Wally? Yeah, patience is a tough one, isn't it? And then Paul had to go and put them in the same sentence. I don't understand his thinking. So, Paul reminded the Colossians of this when he wrote in Colossians 3:12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Now, most of these are pretty easy, aren't they? You know, if you look at it, you know, I can clothe myself in compassion. I can have compassion for people in most situations. Kindness, I can do that one. Humility, that one's a tough one because, you know, it depends on the definition of humility, okay? Too many Christians believe it means micey and just let people run over you, and that's not what humility means. It actually means controlled strength, but that's another sermon. So then we go into gentleness. I can be very gentle with my words and with my hands and with how I act. But then he adds patient. Patience is a hard thing, isn't it? Let's look at Proverbs 14:29 for the next one. This one I love. "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." So when you're patient, you don't put your foot in your mouth. But have you ever seen those people that just lose their cool in a tough situation? They're impatient. They get all crazy. I've been on an airplane once where this guy was just so livid that, you know, somebody was sitting in his seat and he was angry and he was mad and he was throwing a fit. And back then they didn't pull people off the plane like they do now. But, you know, and I'm sitting, you know, a couple rows back seeing all this, and the stewardesses are doing their best. And they just, you know, and Southwest Airlines is one of the best places you can fly because they're so good to you and they're so much fun. And I'm like, this dude's really ruining the ride. We hadn't left the tarmac yet because of him. So he's throwing a fit. Finally, the captain shows up. He takes the ticket out of the guy's hand, and he looks at it, and he just starts laughing. I'm like, what's the deal? He goes, sir, you're on the wrong plane. But none of us have ever done anything like that, right? Yeah, you know, those crazy California people. So, gotta sometimes bite your tongue. So Peter says something really awesome in 2 Peter 3:9. Check this out. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, why would I throw that one in there? That one proves that the Lord is patient with who? With us. Right? Why hasn't God returned? You hear me and you hear other preachers go, come, Lord Jesus, please. Do you know why he hasn't come? Because we need another great revival. We need more people to come to Christ. We need an awakening, especially in the United States. Because God is not going to come until there are more people saved and believing in Jesus Christ. Because he doesn't want to destroy anyone. He doesn't want anybody left behind. Understand that? So then next time you hear someone say, Lord Jesus, please come now, then look at him and go, well, you better go start witnessing because he's not coming back till a lot more of us believe. Right? It'll be a great day when he comes back. I hope I get to see it. But if he's challenging us to be believers that spread the good news and get as many to join and to be a part of the faith family, I think I can be patient with him. Amen. All right. So I believe when it comes to patience, it's a practice. We have to practice patience. Now, when I was studying last night, a couple questions came up, So how do you get good at something, right? It takes what? Practice, right? Because, Renee, you can just wake up and play whatever you want, right, on the piano? Right. How many years of practice? She don't want to give her age away. 20 years? Higher? Okay, 30 years. Yeah, my wife and I just realized this week that we've been out of high school for 30 years. Oh, my. 30 years? 40? Holy smokes. Because how many times do you guys come in here and go, man, she's good at what she does? Right? It's because she's practiced. We watch these athletes on TV. The reason they're so good is because they practice. Now, here's the funny thing I had to laugh at this week. When we practice things, you know, we try to be good at them. But sometimes some of us practice and practice, and we're not real good, right? You know, how many times you're in the supermarket, and you're struggling to practice patience with the person in front of you? Anybody? And it's the worst when you're like trying to be really patient, especially with that older lady, and all of a sudden she dumps all these coupons out. And you're like, oh my gosh, and there's somebody behind you, so you can't get out. You been there? And you're like, oh man, why did she have to have coupons? But we have these issues. What about, now what about when you're in traffic? Anybody ever struggle with that one? Yeah, traffic can be a fun one. You try to be patient. And here's my favorite thing. As I'm driving to work, I always have these people in a hurry. And so I'm just cruising along. I try and keep the same speed. People are just zooming around me. And then I get up to like the third light, and guess who's sitting next to me? Yep. And I always, and I'm terrible because I'm like, well, that really got you somewhere, didn't it? Yeah. I did that accidentally one time in the summer, and my window was down, and so was there. So, you got to be careful. So anyway, we have to practice patience. We have to understand that patience is a key to a Christian life. Because people are always watching, folks. And one of the things that when we lose our temper, especially in public, or we're not being very nice because we're not being very patient, they will tell themselves, well, I'm no different than they are. I guess I don't need to worry about being a Christian. You hearing me? So, Margaret Thatcher, one of the greatest leaders in the UK, she said, I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end. And that's how most of us are, right? So, we need to be patient. Oh, and by the way, the new one that we all struggle with when it comes to patience is commercials. You know, in the old days, we liked commercials because they were kind of cool and you could get up and do stuff and still like the commercials. But now that you have Netflix and all this stuff on demand, you don't have to wait on it. You know, I was trying to watch a regular television show a couple weeks ago, and it was a very good show, and they went to commercial, and my wife's like, why do they do that? And I'm like, because they got to pay for the show. Because now we don't like commercials. We get impatient with that. So that was one of the last things. All right, now, finally, Paul tells us to be faithful in prayer. Okay? Prayer is a priority, again, as a believer, so that we can speak to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, Paul writes this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. He said, rejoice always, pray what? Continually. Pray always and continually. Some people think, well, does that mean I have to get on my knees and have my Bible and do all these things? No, you can pray wherever you're at. You can pray while you're cleaning the house. You can pray when you're doing homework, maybe. Don't pray too quick because you might fall asleep. You can pray as you drive. Again, understand, don't close your eyes. Bad things could happen. He hears you. Just, you know. But you can pray always. You don't have to cut out a time where you just sit and pray and then you go about your day not praying. Pray all day long. Now, it's awesome if you can take time out of your day and read scripture and pray. I think that's important. It's called devotions. And I think that's important. But we need to pray always and for everything. 1 John tells us this. This is the confidence that we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now let's look at this scripture again, though. This is the confidence we have approaching God, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that if we ask, what? Anything? It's up there. Awesome. All right. According to what? His will, He hears us. So, it is His will. You can bring anything in front of Him and pray it, but it has to be His will, right? When we have to go into it with the right heart also, but it's about the will of God. You can pray and pray and pray. I'm sure lots of people prayed for the winning numbers to the Mega Millions, right? But nobody in here got the numbers, did they? No. And some people pray for all kinds of really crazy things. God's only going to answer those prayers that coincide with His will. So when you pray and something doesn't happen, understand it's in God's will. Some reason, somehow. At my last church, I had a woman that was struggling with cancer. And she had an up and down battle. And it was hard. Hard to watch. Hard to be a part of. And she was in remission, and she was doing great. Her hair started growing back. She seemed to have color back to her life. And we thought that we'd witnessed a miracle. But not long afterwards, she got it again. And it came back with such a vengeance and such a fury that there was no stopping it. Can I tell you why God allowed her to have hope and to feel healed and be healed in front of the doctors? Nope. I don't know. But I know in my heart that God used that for somebody, somewhere. And do I understand why God took her? No, I don't. But I believe in His will. And His will is what I want to follow in my life. I've got lots of questions for God when I get to heaven, as you do. And that's one of them. Why do bad things happen to good people? So, I want to challenge you to understand that we need to pray. Pray often and always. In Hebrews 4:16, it tells us this: let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. Now, did you catch that? The Hebrew writer says we can approach God in confidence. Isn't that awesome? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil, the curtain that was in front of the Holy of Holies, only chosen people could go in there, ripped from the top down. And some believe that it was at least 5 inches thick, and it was probably over 100 feet tall. And they know that it was ripped from the top to the bottom. God just went, whoop. Because once Christ was sacrificed, once our sins were atoned for, there was no use for the sacrifice. No reason to have to bring a goat or a pig or... Oh, they didn't bring pigs, sorry. Goats, I was thinking livestock. Or cow. They didn't have to bring any of those type of things to sacrifice. There was no more bloodshed. And as believers, we can approach God with confidence. Walk into the throne room with confidence. Approach our God just as we are. Isn't that amazing? So when you pray, you don't have to do it through anybody else. You go directly to the front of the line. He loves you. You're His child, and He wants to hear from you. And I believe that's so important for us to understand, that God isn't so far away. God is with us, and when we pray, He hears us. Because when we approach the throne room of grace, He's right there with us. Isn't that powerful? We don't need to have anybody, you know, pray for us. Don't have to have anybody bring our concerns before God. We can do it ourselves. It's a privilege. And that's my last point. Prayer is a privilege. We are privileged to go and speak to God directly. Privileged. Can you imagine if we had to use someone else to pray? You ever played the game telephone? Anybody? Even if I used my family and my extended family over there, and I said something to my wife, by the time it got to Ashley, it'd be completely different, right? And that's the thing. You want somebody taking your concerns to God? Are you sure they're going to get it right? You understand? I have to laugh because things like that happen all the time. So we need to go before God with confidence in our prayer life. A.W. Tozer is one of my favorite men of God. And he said something that just has always stuck with me. He said, if you do all the talking when you pray, how will you ever hear God's answer? Good one, isn't it? Sometimes we just have to be quiet and be still and listen to God. That's a prayer life. Simply ask a question. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? Or you can go in front of Him because you have nothing to say and say that. I have nothing to say, Lord. I'm lost. I'm struggling. I'm not finding any hope. That's one of the most powerful prayers in the world. I have to laugh because prayer can be a competition too. It's not about the big words. It's not about how long the prayer is. It's none of that. God doesn't want that. He wants you just as you are. Speak as you would normally speak. Talk to Him like you would talk to anybody else. How do you build a relationship with someone? You talk to them, don't you? And you get to know them by talking to them, right? How else could we build our relationship with God the Father? Huh. Talk to Him, huh? Like men and women that are in relationships, right? Is it ever, David, anytime she stops talking, is it a good day for you? See? You know, when Ron's quiet over there with Char, though, it's a good day for her. But if we don't talk to each other, I mean, we got two young people down here getting ready to get married, you know, Jake and Ashley. And if you two don't talk to each other, how's the relationship? Yeah, it's a cranky day. And Jake says a good day. So, you see what I mean? Communication is important because we all have different filters in our head. All right? And I think that if we talk to each other, that enriches our relationships, right? So if we want to enrich our relationship with God, we need to talk to Him. Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to leave you with some challenges and some understandings. I believe that God has a standing army, and we just have to call them and have them be turned loose. Believe that God is with you always. Believe in the hope and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stand firm in the knowledge that you serve the God, the creation, God of creation, the God that can do all things. With Him, nothing is impossible. So then, when we go to the throne room of God, we can stand there and just take in His love and His compassion for us. Because without that love and compassion, we have nothing. And I never can get over the fact that He loves me that much. Because I'm not very good. I sin on a regular basis. I have to laugh because I can sit in a sermon and you know, have doubts. I can, you know, judge people. I can do all kinds of things, even sitting in a church. I don't know about anybody else. It's just me, maybe. But I thank God every day. And I ask God forgiveness every day and thank Him for the blood that cleanses me. So, here's my challenge. My challenge to you today is to begin the new year and make hope a habit. Practice patience and take advantage of the privilege of prayer. What do you think, church? You think we can start off a new year with a new perspective, a new focus? Because I believe that God is going to do great things here at First. I believe that there is a revival around the corner. We have to believe. We have to come together as a church, as a body, and believe that as one. And I also hope that this year is the best year of your life. That God will bless you and anoint you in every way. I know some of you in here are scared of the future. You're not sure what it holds. Some are going away to California, not understanding, you know, what's going to await him. But thank God he was raised in the church and he understands that he can find strength in the Savior. We've got people that have lost loved ones. We have people that are recovering from health issues. We have people that they're just in a tough spot right now. Hear me on this. God loves you, and He's got this. Amen? All right, let me pray with you. Father, I bow before You. You are my King. You are my Savior. I thank You for the mercies that You give me every day. I thank You for supplying for our needs. I thank You for the health that You give us. I thank You that we have the freedom to worship You. I thank You that Your word is full of truth, and it's simple truth, Lord. Help us as a faith family to make hope a habit. May people see us and see the hope that is within us through our Savior Jesus. Father, I pray that You help us to practice patience. And Father, I know when we pray that the test is coming. But Father, I pray that we are a patient people. And Father, I pray that we practice it regularly. And Father, most of all, I pray that no matter what we do in this world, that we reflect you. When people see us, may they see Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.